Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Something that I've recently discovered on YouTube is the unboxing video. Has anyone ever seen one of these? They are remarkable things. Basically, you've got a YouTuber, some kind of influencer, who has something sent to them in the mail. It might be a new technology product, a new cosmetic, something like that. And they make a video of themselves opening the box. They do it kind of really slowly, really deliberately. They get their knife out, cut the tape at the top of the box, open it up, look inside, and then you see there's all the kind of packaging paper in there. They take all the packaging out and then they get the product. And the product is covered in like bubble wrap or something. You see them take the bubble wrap off and then they go from one angle to the next, looking at this product in the box, and you see their reaction to it. You see what the thing is, what it looks like, how it appears from different angles. It's quite a thing. It's basically sucking you into spending like 15 minutes of your life watching somebody open their mail. But that's what an unboxing video is. Tonight is going to be a little bit like that. It's going to be an unboxing video here at CCM. As we've been preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, we've come to the idea of spiritual gifts. Now, some of these things are quite straightforward. They're ways that God enables us to serve the church and build a kingdom in the world. They're abilities God gives to each of us. But some of the gifts are a bit more confusing when you first look at them. They raise questions. And so in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul takes two of the gifts, two that are most prone to provoke questions in people, and he does a bit of an unboxing on them. He shows us what they are, what they look like when they're used well, what they might look like if they're not used so well, and gives us some guidance on what to do with them. And these gifts are prophecy and the gift of tongues, or you might call it the gift of languages. Okay, tongues is quite an old-fashioned word, but languages really is what it is, the ability to speak or pray in a different language. And these gifts, historically in the church, have proved to be a bit contentious. But really they needn't be that contentious, because usually the controversy is when people have missed parts of what Paul is talking about in this chapter that shows us how we use them really well and how God's church gets built up through them. So that's what we're going to have a look at this evening. There's an encouragement in this chapter that we lean into these things, but that we do so well. There's guidance in how to use them properly. So let me just start by giving a couple of examples of what these things are, what they're used for. So I'll start with prophecy. I remember a few years ago, I was at a place where I was just a bit unsure what was next for me. So I was part of CCM, I was involved in quite a few things, but I didn't know really, are the things that I'm doing at the moment the best things for me to be doing? Should I change and start doing some other things? It was just kind of in my head a bit. I was a bit confused, slightly disorientated. We had a guy visit from Wales who has been known to have the gift of prophecy, a guy called Andrew Davies. And Andrew and I had never spoken before, but in the meeting when I was listening to him preach at the end, he picked out two or three people and I was one of them. And for each of us, he shared something that he thought God was showing him for us. And with me, he described how I'd been feeling. He said, like, look, you're not quite sure where you fit, but God wants to say you're in exactly the right place. And the things that you're doing are key to some things that God is working on. That was massively encouraging, because in my circumstance, there was a word from God through Andrew that helped, that spoke to exactly what was going on, and help give me the answers for what I needed. The gift of languages or tongues, a friend of mine had been to see her dad, and she'd had a kind of a bad history with her dad, hadn't seen him for many years, but now kind of she was an adult, she'd chosen to go and meet with him and try and build some kind of relationship. She'd kind of had a weekend where she'd seen him quite a bit and then was trying to process it all. And she wanted to pray, but when she tried to pray, she just didn't know what to say. The words didn't flow naturally, she couldn't articulate what was going on because her mind, her heart, her spirit was just so confused and so kind of messed up by all these emotions, all these thoughts that were going through her head. And so what she started to do is she started to pray to God in words that bypassed her mind. She couldn't in her mind put the words together. So she used this gift of languages and she was praying to God in a language that she didn't even understand. It's like kind of her spirit was praying directly to God. And you could tell as she was doing it that things were being lifted, burdens were being removed, joy was coming to her. She was using the gift of languages. This is what's been talked about in Romans 8, where it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's what was going on in my friend's life there. So that's kind of what we mean really when we talk about the gift of prophecy. This is like a word given usually to an individual for either a group of people or for another individual from God. And the gift of languages or tongues, which is an ability to pray using words, using languages that we haven't learned. So we're in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. We'll start by doing like a bit of a compare and contrast between the two from the first five verses. Let me read them. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So we see the difference between these two gifts. First difference really is the audience, who is being addressed here. So when you speak in tongues, speaking languages, you are speaking to God. This is a prayer language. It's a spiritual language. You are communicating with God. When my friend that night after she'd been to see her dad was praying, who was that addressed to? It was addressed to God. Now, I was there at the time, but that doesn't really matter. I didn't need to know what was being prayed in that moment. She wasn't talking to me. She was talking to God. Whereas prophecy, we see in verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to people. You know, when Andrew brought that prophetic word for me, he did so in English. Now, it was English with a strong Welsh accent, but it was English nonetheless. So I could understand what was being said, and everyone else in the room could understand what was being said. That was a word not from him to God, but from God through him to the congregation, to me. And the way it works, for Andrew at that moment, for me at the times that I've brought prophecies and prophesied over people, is it's just like God impresses something upon you. You just kind of know in your mind, in your spirit, right, God has said something here. And sometimes it's a picture, sometimes it's a phrase or some words or a specific message or a feeling. Sometimes it's a song. And you share it. You share it with whoever God is showing you it's for. So there's a difference in the audience. And this sounds like an obvious thing to say, but it's quite an important starting point as we're unboxing these gifts to see that they're pointed in different directions. They have a different audience, because that's going to mean the way we use them, what we do with them, is going to be different. They're not identical to each other. They're not trying to do the same thing. So then the effect of them, the effect of the gift of languages, is that nobody understands it. Again, we're told this in verse 2. It says, for no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the spirit. If I'm up here at the front and I'm going on in tongues, telling you all about the keys to my Sierra or whatever it is, you're going to be there confused. You're going to be sitting there awkwardly, maybe checking your phones to see how the Cricket World Cup final's going on or whatever it might be. You're going to be kind of in an awkward place of like, someone's there doing something, but I'm disconnected from it. I don't understand. Now, for me, as the individual who's bringing that word, it's great. I'm uttering mysteries in the spirit. There's a moment here. I'm in the presence of God. But it's alienating for everybody else. Whereas verse 3 tells us that prophecy is speaking for upbuilding, for encouragement, for consolation. If I was up here sharing a prophecy, then you're not going to be sitting there awkwardly. You're going to be gripped because God is speaking and you're understanding it and you are drawn in. That moment that Andrew prophesied over me, well, that's encouraging, isn't that? Helps me. But it doesn't only help and encourage me, because there are people around who know me. I'm part of a community, and everyone else can listen in and say, amen, we believe that God is in this. And people can gather around me and pray into it with me. It's an encouragement to us as a body when this happens. So then the result in verse 4, it says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So firstly, if you're speaking in tongues, you build yourself up. Now, I think this is a great argument for doing it. Of course we want to be built up. Who doesn't want to be built up in their walk with God? Well, speaking in tongues can help you. Praying in these languages that God gives can really, really help you build yourself up in your faith. Use the gift of languages. But when you prophesy, you build the church. And this has been a big emphasis throughout Corinthians. If there's something that just benefits you and something that benefits everyone else, choose the thing that will benefit the church over the thing that benefits yourself. Now, when you're on your own, when you're in your devotional times, knock yourself out with the gift of tongues. It's good. It builds you up. When you're in a gathered setting, maybe just rein it in a little bit, because it's something like a prophecy that's going to build up the whole congregation more. So the verdict, verse 5, is that tongues is good, but prophecy is better. It says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So he says, I want you all to speak in tongues. I guess that prompts a question. Is this something that we can all do? Because a couple of chapters earlier, we were reading that tongues is a gift from God. So do we all have the gift, or is it only some that have the gift? What we need to remember with the spiritual gifts is most of them are describing things that all Christians do. So having the gift of evangelism, having the gift of giving, having the gift of prayer. It's not only the people who have the gift that can do the thing, but yet the people who have the gift, take evangelism as an example, they'll see more fruit. It'll be kind of supercharged, just kind of normal Christian thing. Somehow God will be on it more abundantly, bringing fruit from it. Okay? So it doesn't mean that if you don't have the gift, you can't step out into this at all. Now, I'd love us all to have the gift, but we know the nature of gifts. Some of us will have different gifts in different measures, but it is something. Paul says, I would like all of you to speak in tongues. Also, we need to remember that later on he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. And just saying that I do it more than any of you seems to be saying it's not on tap. It's not something that we can just do whenever we want. And that's certainly been my experience with it. There have been plenty of times that I've spoken in tongues because I know as I've been praying, I've just known in my soul, I've got these words to express. They're from God. The Holy Spirit is giving them to me. And when that happens, I pray them. But I can't just start speaking it off my own bat. It's given to me by God from time to time. And I think that can happen to any of us. As we're praying, just be ready. Be ready. Be ready for the Holy Spirit to just take over your prayer and give you words in a language. Like Paul, I want you all to speak in tongues. Just be expectant that God will give you this kind of words from time to time as you pray. So if you say you have the gift, definitely lean into it and do it loads. But if you don't, pray for it, desire it, ask God for it and be ready for it when he gives. But then he says, even more, I desire you to prophesy. Because remember, Christianity is a team sport. And if something like prophesy can so encourage and strengthen and build up the church, then surely we should value it very highly indeed. And again, can we all do it? Well, we may not all have the gift, but I think to some measure we can. We can know God's voice. We can hear God whisper things to us and just know there from him. I believe this is part of the Christian experience for all of us as we're in prayer, as we're engaging with God in his presence, that he speaks to us and leads us and guides us. And let's be ready to step out and share the things that God gives to us in this way. There should be a hunger for an increasing measure of this. And maybe actually when you're praying to God on your own, in your own devotional time, why not ask him to say things to you that are for others, that are for the church, that can be brought in a public meeting or brought with two or three Christian friends just to share with them and speak into their lives. So they're the two gifts and how they kind of operate a bit differently. In the rest of the chapter then, we see some more guidance on how to use them. And we start with the gift of languages. So I'll read from verse 6 to verse 25. "Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I'd rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. In the law, it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people. And even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is a sign, not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say you're out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. So what's he saying? He said, look, if in a public setting, a church gathering, you speak in tongues, that could well be meaningless to the hearer. Now again, doing it on your own, maybe doing it even in a private prayer meeting, it's a little bit different, but this is a public meeting. Guests will come. People from outside will be there. Think about the effect that this will have. What will they think? If everybody at the same time is speaking in tongues and someone walks in, they'll think you're mad. They'll have no clue what is going on. You know, this happened once to my mum. She was looking for a new church to go to. She was quite a new believer herself and went to a church, and suddenly everybody in the room started speaking in tongues at the same time. She hadn't really come across this idea before, didn't know what it was. I was just completely baffled by the whole experience. Because it's saying, we've got something we do together, and if you're not in, you're on the outside of this. It's quite an alienating experience. Paul wants to highlight this to the Corinthians, how alienating it can be for somebody who's not part of the community. And why would you want to make someone feel like this? We want to be welcoming. We want to be drawing people in so they can hear the gospel and meet with God for themselves. How will that happen if everybody's saying words that they can't understand? So what he says, he doesn't say don't speak in tongues in a public meeting. That's not the application here. But he's saying when it happens, it should be interpreted. You need to be able to explain to people in words that their minds can understand, this is what has just been said. Because if tongues is a gift from God, and I believe it is, then we want everybody to be able to benefit from it together. So if you feel that God has given you some words in a tongue to share with the church, you're very, very welcome to do so. I would encourage you to do so. Then what we would do after is we'd pray and ask God to give an interpretation. Maybe to the same person who's brought the tongue, they just had a sense, hey, as I was praying this and as God gave me those words, this is what he meant. This is what he was saying. And so can share that in English so we can all understand. Or maybe God would give that interpretation to someone else as they hear the words. They just know. The Spirit just gives them a sense of this is what that means. And they can share it with us. So we can all get behind it and say, amen. But in general, Paul's saying, look, I'd rather speak 5 words with my mind in church in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Look, there is a place for bringing words in tongues, praying for interpretation. We welcome that. But the main priority is bringing words to instruct others, to help people, to serve, to build up the church. We should always be thinking about that. If you have the gift of tongues, use it. Use it in various contexts. Use it in your own prayer life. Use it in prayer meetings. Use it when you meet up with others. And feel free to bring it in at public gatherings as well with interpretation. But primarily think of the outsider and think of what will serve and bless them. Think of your brothers and sisters in Christ, what will serve and bless them. And whatever your gifts are, whatever contributions you have to bring, use it in that way. And we will all be blessed. Let's move on then. How do we use the gift of prophecy? I'll read from verse 26 to verse 33. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only 2 or at most 3, and each in turn. And let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let 2 or 3 prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Again, he's talking about a gathered meeting, when the church comes together to worship. And what he's saying is that in that meeting, there will be lots of different people who have lots of different contributions to bring. He gives some examples. So there are hymns, there are lessons, there are revelations or prophecies, there are tongues or languages, and there's interpretations. So we've seen some of this evening. There are hymns, aren't there? There are songs. The band have worked hard at leading us in some songs. Maybe from time to time, someone will get a spiritual song where the Holy Spirit gives them a new song to sing out that we can all join in. That's great. We welcome that. There are lessons. I'm delivering one now. But there are other modes. Someone might have something from the Holy Spirit to bring and to teach us. That's a good thing. There are revelations and prophecies, tongues, interpretation. There are lots of different things to bring into the meeting. Some of these will have been planned in advance. A sermon tends to be planned beforehand. The band practice some of the songs. Some of it's quite spontaneous. It's what God gives you there and then. Both are good. But the emphasis here in verse 26 is let all things be done for building up. Whatever you're going to bring, whatever you're going to contribute, whatever part you are going to play, have a think about how will this build everyone else up? The church meeting isn't meant to be a stage to look good in front of others. It's not about self-promotion. It's about serving each other as the body of Christ. Let all things be done for building up. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I'd been praying in the week and I had a sense of a word that God wanted, that I thought God wanted me to share in church that Sunday. So I went into the Sunday meeting and I was ready. I was waiting for a moment, maybe between a couple of songs, where I could speak out and share this word that God, I thought I'd laid on my heart. And yet as the meeting went on, different people had brought different words and the songs and the preach, and everything seems to be going in a very different direction to this word that I've been reading. So what do I do? at that moment? Do I interrupt the flow of what it seems like God's doing to bring this thing? Because I've got this word and I need to bring it. Or do I just hold my fire? Do I just say, look, seems like God's doing this. So if what God laid on my heart really is from God, then there'll be another moment to share it. Maybe I could share it next week, or maybe having a conversation with someone one-on-one. It's just right for them. I've got to choose in that moment. Do I bring the thing that that I'm convinced needs to be here, even if it's interrupting what God has been doing through everyone else? So I said, you know, I'm not going to bring this. I'm going to serve what's happening here. I'm going to flow into what it seems like God is doing. And I think that's what Paul is urging all of us to do in this section. So he says, look, people might bring words and languages. That's great. Let's have two or three maximum. Let's pray for interpretations. If there aren't interpretations given, then just keep it quiet. Keep it between you and God, because we want everyone to be built up by it. He then says prophecy. And again, let's just remind ourselves what we saw earlier, that prophecy is speaking to people for upbuilding, for encouragement, for consolation. And that helps us to understand what kind of words to bring. So if your word is damning, if your word is condemning of other people, then it probably doesn't quite fit with how prophecy is meant to function in this gathered setting. You can read all sorts of examples of really inappropriate prophecies that have been brought. One pastor tells of a prophecy that someone shared with him when his wife was pregnant, that his wife would die in childbirth and they'd have a baby girl. She ended up surviving and they had a boy. I've got a friend who told me someone said to him that God had told her that they would marry each other. And he said, well, it's funny because God hasn't mentioned it to me. You know, some things are just kind of inappropriate what we bring. But really the purpose of these prophetic words, as we hear God speaking and share it with others, is to build people up, to encourage, to console, that the church is strengthened through these words of encouragement. That's exactly what happened when Andrew shared that word over me. He spoke into exactly what was going on. He was able to tell me what I'd been thinking. That kind of helped me see, look, God's in this. But what he said, it was so encouraging. It was so warm, and it just gently led me in the way I needed to go, in the way God wanted me to go. And he says, look, again, let's have two or three people prophesy. There's a place for it, but we don't want it to overly dominate. There are other things we want to do when we gather together as well. We want to sing together. We want to break bread together. We want to have times just chatting and building up community. We want to hear from the Word. There's lots of things we want to do. So let's have a place for prophecy, but let's not make it overly dominant. Two or three is fine. I think usually churches veer one way or the other on this. You could either kind of dismiss it and find no place for it at all, or you can go like completely over the top on making everything about it. Paul says, look, it has a place, so let it have its place. I think here at CCM, I'd love to see us have a little bit more prophetic ministry, supernatural words from God, healings, miracles. I think there's space for more of it the way we do things. It's something we've been praying into increasingly recently. We set up a school of ministry just to learn together about stepping out into these things. That will start in January. I'd encourage you to get involved with it. And then when a prophetic word is brought, it says in verse 29, let the others weigh what is said. It's very important that the word is weighed, because some people are a little bit suspicious of prophecy, basically, because it seems like anything can go. It seems like if someone could just stand up and say, hey, God's saying this, and everyone will do it. That's quite dangerous, isn't it? Because what if God's not saying that? How do you know it's God? Sometimes maybe it's just a well-meaning person, but it's just coming from themselves, or maybe it's not well-meaning. Maybe it could be used maliciously or to damage people. So there's a bit of suspicion sometimes. And so the answer is, when someone brings a prophetic word, there's a process of weighing it, actually determining, is this from God or not? And again, there's a few criteria that you might apply. You'd certainly look at Scripture. You know, because Scripture, we know, is the Word of God, the authoritative Word of God. So you look at this prophecy that's been brought. Prophecy can never supersede Scripture. Scripture is our authority. So it means that we've got a plumb line to weigh those prophecies against. So maybe the prophetic word reasserts a biblical truth. So if someone brings it, like, I just feel like God wants to remind you right now that if you're a believer in Christ, no matter what you've done, there is no condemnation for you in Christ. Well, we can accept that as a word from God because we know it's Romans 8 verse 1. There is no condemnation in Christ. We know that. So we can accept it. It's a reminder of something we already know to be true. It's also possible, though, that someone might bring a prophecy that contradicts what the Bible says. And in that case, we dismiss it. Now, there are ways that we can do this that are still warm and loving to the person. Okay, they may have meant no harm by it, but what they've brought doesn't line up with Scripture. So if it doesn't line up with Scripture, we know that that isn't from God. But actually, more commonly, a word that's brought will probably be about something that Scripture doesn't express at all. So I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine shared a word over me. He said, look, Tom, God's going to use you increasingly for teaching his truth. You'll be given opportunities to teach theology, given church and in wider settings, and also the opportunity to write books about faith. So that was his word for me. Now, well, you can't weigh that according to the Bible, can you? Because the Bible doesn't talk about whether I'm going to be teaching theology or writing books. But you know, it was an encouraging word. So there was nothing about it that made us want to dismiss it either. So you'd go into some other criteria if it's that sort of situation where the Bible doesn't speak about it. You'd look at who brought it. Actually, what level of credibility does this person have? Are they known within the community? Are they living a godly life? Have they got character? Do you know them? Do you trust them within the community? That really helps, you know. It realises if someone just comes in from outside and no one knows from them from Adam and they bring a word, then you know, it could be from God, but you know, you'd be a bit more wary. It's like, well, who is this guy? What are they all about? Whereas if someone is either kind of part of your church or kind of part of a church that you're in good fellowship with and you've known them for a while and you know they're living it out and have a good track record with it, it really adds some credibility to what they bring. But also you just ask, how well does the word that they've brought sit? Does it sit well inside you? Sometimes you hear something and it just jars and it doesn't seem to resonate with other things that have been spoken prophetically and where God seems to be leading you. And it just doesn't quite. So if that happens, you don't need to throw everything away just because this prophecy has been brought. No, you might dismiss it out of hand, but just stick it on the back burner. And say, look, this didn't quite sit right at the time, but I'm just going to leave it there. Maybe at some point in the future, it might become more relevant. Maybe it might seem to fit a bit more. And maybe God will speak other things that relate to it and help it fit. Just stick it on the back burner if that's the case. There is no harm in doing that. And look what else God is saying to you. You know, I believe God speaks clearly. This isn't a code to crack. And if God's trying to guide you, he'll get your attention. And I've known God often says the same thing several times through several different people. And that really helps. If like within the space of a few weeks, you've had prophecies from three or four people who don't know each other, but all sharing the same thing, that's a big sign that God is speaking. So what this all means is that when a prophecy happens, it's not like we drop everything. Prophecy doesn't have the same weight as Scripture. But we do let this way of God speaking be a part of a guidance process that involves spiritual wisdom, that involves prayer, that involves walking with others in community, etc., etc. And then in verses 30 to 32, Paul tells us to listen. But prophecy is not like a radio antenna that you kind of zone out of what's going on. It's like, I've got something, let me share my word. And you interrupt everything. He says, no, the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. It's not like you go out of control when God's speaking. So if God puts something on your heart to share and now doesn't seem like the moment, that's fine. Your spirit is subject to you. You can just hold fire on it and wait till the right moment comes. The rest of the chapter, Paul goes back to the issue he was talking about at the start of chapter 11, gender and worship. We're not going to get into it today, but we did a whole sermon on it a few weeks ago that's up on the website. I would encourage you to take a listen. But in conclusion, those unboxing videos that I started with, I think they're really, really unfulfilling. They're a kind of depressing use of time. It reminds me of the old game show Bullseye, where there was a prize, and if someone didn't win the prize, it'd be, let's have a look at what you could have won, and they show them like a speedboat or a car or whatever it is. Unboxing videos sometimes feel like that. Is somebody who I don't know investigating something that I don't have? and that I'm probably never going to have, that I'm not going to buy, but that looks good, but I don't have one. Why would I spend my time watching that? And that's where tonight and what we're talking about, it differs from those unboxing videos, because this isn't just about intellectual curiosity. How does languages, how does prophecy work? This is an invitation. Because your Heavenly Father loves to give good gifts to His children. And these are gifts that He gives to us, His church. I would encourage you to use these gifts. Step out. As you pray, you know, if you pray in tongues often, lean into it. Do some more. Use what God has given you. If it's something you haven't done much or haven't done at all, be open to it. As you pray, be ready to receive from God these ways of expressing yourself to Him. Prophesy. You know, bring the things that God speaks to you about, shares with you. Ask God more and more to give you words to encourage, build up and console those around you. Lord, please give us people in this church or in your wider church who prophesy, who speak to you in tongues of men and of angels. Lord, give these gifts to your church now, I pray. Amen.